Glad you came to worship with us this morning. Hope you have had a good time with us. When we come together as a church family to worship, I know worship is to be kind of a somber tone at times, very respectful of God, but it's also to come together and just enjoy being together and worshiping together. And I hope you feel that when you come here on a Sunday morning. You feel welcomed and enjoy your time while you're here. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but do you know why the rooster wouldn't cross the road? Because he was a chicken. I went really basic with the joke this week. So you can think about that, and you can trick some people this week on that one. Any ice cream trucks experiences this week? Anybody? Anybody have any ice cream truck experiences this week? I hope you're not a chicken. I hope you take this challenge that I laid out last week to make 100 people happy over the next 10 weeks. And as we go through these one another passages in Scripture for the next 9 Sundays, they're going to be aids to help you in delivering some ice cream to some people. You know, some of you are wondering, what is he talking about? Well, last week, I kind of compared us dishing out happiness as when you were a kid and the ice cream truck came around the neighborhood, how happy it made you feel, even if you were maybe not having a good day. It just brought joy. Now, how many of you are driving around the dead truck? I hope that you kind of try to steer clear from that this week. You know, I compared, sometimes we don't give much happiness. We kind of come across, as I described, the dead truck that drove by the highway by the baseball field when I was in high school and we had practice, and it just stunk up the whole place. It smelled terrible. And sometimes our attitudes and our behaviors and our character and how our disposition is, we're just driving around a dead truck. We're just not making anybody happy, and people are trying to steer clear of us rather than enjoying being around us. And so the challenge is this: to try to make some people happy. There's some people in your circle where you live, in your home, in your workplace, in your circle of friends, the person that gives you your order at McDonald's, wherever it might be, there are some people that you can attempt to try to spread some happiness into their lives. And so the challenge is, drive that ice cream truck around. Be the ice cream truck in your circle, in your world, and spread some happiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says this: therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. There it is. Encourage one another. There are some people, I'm sure, in your life that could use some encouragement. Perhaps yourself, you could use some encouragement. I hope today as you leave, you feel encouraged to now go into a new week. And one way that you can make people happy is to encourage them, to lift them up. The Bible is full of verses from the beginning to the end talking about how we as Christians are to be encouragers. Some of the verses go like this: Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is talking about not giving up meeting together, worshiping together, fellowshipping together, living life in community together. And when we do that, we can encourage one another. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. As Christians, we're to bind together in unity. And one thing that we ought to be doing together is encouraging one another. Hebrews 3, verse 13, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And we know how sin can creep into our life and oftentimes cause discouragement. But if we bind together to encourage one another, we can steer clear of that. And so if you want to take this challenge seriously, then we need to be people who encourage one another. That can help to lift the spirits and make those around us happy. I really think that encouragement is right at the heart of making someone happy. Perhaps someone has encouraged you in the last week or the last month, and you think back on that and how happy that made you in that moment, in that time, that someone thought enough to try to say some encouraging words or to help you out in an encouraging way, whatever it might be. At the center of our happiness, oftentimes, is a person doing something that's encouraging on our behalf. And so I'm asking you to go the extra mile. These things don't just happen by chance, but we have to take the opportunities and look for the opportunities to encourage people. The most commonly used Greek word in the New Testament that describes encouragement is the Greek word parakaleo. And this word is interesting. It really helps us to understand what this means. Parakaleo means to come alongside and call out. And if you really think about it, if you really want to encourage someone, you got to get right alongside that person. Get with them in their situation. Try to understand how it is that they are feeling. Why is it they're discouraged? If you try to help from a distance, kind of throw some encouragement from a distance, I mean, it might be a noble thought, but it's not till you come alongside them in their grief or in their frustration or in their sadness, whatever it might be. When you come alongside them, then you really know what it means to try to encourage them. You know what will really help them. And then you try to call them out of that. Whatever discouragement they're going through, you come alongside of them and you encourage them, trying to call them out of that. That's the steps that the New Testament writers saw and understood. The one way that we can help make people happy is through encouraging one another, coming alongside. If you look at the English version of our word, encouragement, if you break that word apart, it's to take courage and put it in somebody. Encourage. So we come alongside someone and put courage into them that, yes, you can come out of this discouraged situation. And to be successful with that, we have to come alongside, feel their pain, understand what they're going through, and you'll know exactly what it is that they need. What encouraging word might change something in their life? We look at the Bible. The Bible tells us that God is the Father of encouragement. God is the originator of all things, and so it stands to reason that He created encouragement. God is the Father of encouragement. We can lean on Him. Also, Scripture tells us that Jesus is the source of our encouragement. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 says this: "May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." It's because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that we are encouraged about eternity. That through Christ and His sacrifice, we can have eternal life. And boy, that should sure give you some encouragement. That should give you encouragement in face of the discouragement that you encounter on a day-to-day basis. Also, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit encourages us. As Jesus was describing to His disciples that He would soon be leaving them near the end of His life, He told them that someone will come to counsel you. That being the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would come alongside of you and reside in the heart of the Christian and be an encouragement to you. Also, Scripture encourages us. In Romans 15, verse 4, it says, "May our Lord Jesus Christ, Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." We find encouragement through the Word of God. Have you ever read a passage and really thought about what it was that you had just read and how it can bring encouragement to a difficult situation, to something in your life that you're trying to overcome? Whatever the case may be, the Word of God brings encouragement. And also the saints, those who have come before us, who are not with us any longer, bring us encouragement. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with the perseverance the race marked out for us." You could picture a stadium full of people who have already gone on before us. They've ran the race. They were a follower of Christ and their life is over. And they're in the stands cheering you on. And you can think back in your life to maybe a grandmother or a grandfather or a parent or a neighbor or a Sunday school teacher, whoever it might be, that really encouraged you in your faith. Even though they're not with us any longer, they're a great cloud of witness. Their life is a witness to our life, and, well, they can give us courage as well, to give us what we need to press forward. I want you to think back with me to an encounter that Jesus had with his disciples. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 and following, it reads like this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Could kind of set up the scenario of what's happening here. Jesus takes his disciples on what you might call a field trip to the northern region of Israel, to what would have been the crossroads of culture. Those who would be traveling from Europe through the Middle East to the Far East and back and forth trading and traveling. This would have been a culture shock to these country folk disciples. These common men from a very common place in Israel, taken to a place that would have made them feel very, very uncomfortable. Well, I think what Jesus was trying to get them to realize is that soon he would be gone and it would be up to them to go and make disciples. And they would go to places throughout the world that would be much different than Israel. Diversity. Jesus was trying to teach them, there are people in this world that are different than you, and it's okay. In the region of Caesarea Philippi, there would have been those who spoke different language, who had different customs of how they lived, practiced different religions. It would have been a culture shock to these guys. And as Jesus takes them to this place, he speaks to them. Who do people say I am? Because in a matter of months, they won't have Jesus with them anymore. And they're going to have to stand on their own two feet and proclaim Christ to people much different than them. And so Jesus is trying to really dig deep into these guys to find out what they're made of. And he says, who do people say I am? Because one day you're going to have to tell people who I am. And I would almost have to think that these guys were a little bit culture shocked. They didn't quite understand what was going on, and they were a little bit uncomfortable. That there may have been a pause as they were surrounded by things that were much different they weren't used to. And then one by one they started speaking up. Well, some say Moses, some say Elijah. Until Peter speaks up. And Peter's response is one of the greatest responses that he could have ever come up with. That you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now in our context, I would see Jesus fist pumping Peter or high five or chest bump, some kind of celebration. Because I'm sure Peter or Jesus was so excited that Peter had finally came to the knowledge here in his mind and connected it to his heart of who Jesus was. And so he responds to Peter, "You're no longer Simon, but you're Peter." Peter means rock. "You're the person I know I can count on. You're the rock." And I'm sure Peter was a little bit blushed, but also a little bit proud. Now, why did Jesus do this? I think he was trying to encourage Peter, to show him some encouragement, that he believed in him. Because the task at hand that would happen a few months later was a huge undertaking to go into the world and proclaim Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up." And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. I think we would all agree here that we live in a world that needs some encouragement. I'm sure where you work, perhaps in your household, perhaps in your friends, you know some people this week who could really use an encouraging word or a thoughtful gesture to just encourage them. Because we live in a world that is taught to be discouraged. Think about advertising. Every single day, we're hit with advertisements trying to discourage you so you'll buy their product. You know, your clothes are a little bit out of style and discourage you a little bit so that you buy the newest clothes. Well, your iPhone or whatever technology you use at home, well, it's a little behind the times. Here's something better, faster, and greater. And we're always going to kind of discourage you about this, so you buy the newer thing. Or perhaps, well, you're a little bit too ugly, so have this surgery or buy this product. It'll make you look better. a little discouragement. Yeah, you got a little chubby. You should try doing this or that. That'll help things. We're going to discourage you a little bit, but it's going to make it better. You don't have quite enough hair. You buy this product, it's going to make things better for you. And so we face that discouragement every day. That's on top of the discouragement we face with our health, or the discouragement that we face at work, or in the home, or financial situations, you name it. So each and every day we face a lot of discouragement. And so, being a Christian, we go back once more to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another. We have the opportunity at hand. There are plenty of opportunities for us to encourage other people each and every day. But we have to make the decision to do so. I'm going to give you four very, very, very practical ways this week that perhaps you could make some people happy through encouragement. Here's the first one. Greet kindly. I know this seems so elementary, but to greet, when you greet people, to greet them kindly. We have one of two options when we greet someone. One is this. We greet them in the manner of, boy, you're lucky to have gotten to see me today. I'm so glad you got to see me. Or, man, I'm glad I got to see you. And I hope you choose the latter. That when you approach someone, that you approach them and you greet them. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sends his disciples out for the first time. Kind of a trial run of evangelism. And here's what he says in verse 12. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. Jesus knew how a greeting would set the tone for a conversation. It might set the tone for you to encourage them. Make eye contact. Really engage with that person. Give them a handshake or a hug, whatever's appropriate. But greet someone kindly. The second is this. Listen intently. I know we are very busy people. I know we have lots of irons in the fire and lots of things to get to. Have you ever got caught in a conversation that you thought, I don't really have time for this conversation right now? It happens. I am terrible at this. You get into a conversation and you got things on your mind and things to do, and they're telling you things, but they could just be talking to a wall or a tree because you're just not engaged. You're not listening. I don't have time for this. I've got other things to do. Perhaps one way to encourage someone is to listen intently. There's a story in Scripture about a desperate woman who sought after Jesus. She had an issue of bleeding for 12 years. This woman was considered ceremonially unclean by the priest. She couldn't go and worship at the temple. Her sacrifices would not be accepted. She was shunned from society. No one took the opportunity to listen to her intently, but they just kind of cast her aside as, well, a nobody. Until one day, Jesus was passing through Jerusalem on his way to go heal one of the religious leaders' children. Jesus was busy. A large crowd had gathered around Jesus, and as he was making his way through the crowd, Scripture teaches that she reached through the crowd, knowing who Jesus was, and she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus stopped dead in his tracks. In Mark chapter 5, verse 33, it says, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. She knew she was an outcast. She was taking a huge risk, making her way through the crowd. People would know who she is. It's interesting that Jesus knew she had touched him. You have to imagine this crowd. Jesus was being bumped into constantly. But it tells us that he felt power come out of him as the woman, in her faith in who Christ was, touched the hem of his garment. And he stops. Then he turns and asks, who touched me? Why was this woman so distraught? Perhaps she knew she could be in some deep trouble. She's not supposed to be out in crowds. How dare she do this? Now, Jesus could have turned, looked at her, she was healed, and just kept going. But it tells us here, in verse 33, she told him the whole truth. Sure, Jesus healed her physically, but I think he was a little bit more worried about some other things. He listened intently. He took the time to listen to her story, to listen intently. And in verse 34, he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Jesus took the time. I want to encourage you that if you want to be an encourager to others, to listen intently, to take the time in conversations to listen. The third one is this: praise specifically. It's great in the spur of the moment to congratulate someone, to encourage them. But what if you premeditated your encouragement to build someone up? To really be thoughtful on how it is you could approach someone and build them up and encourage them to come alongside them. It might make a world of difference because they'll know you were thinking about them. And that will be an encouragement. I know you've probably, maybe you've done this. Maybe you enjoy a confrontation. But maybe, or you've heard someone say, you know what, I'm just going to let them have it. I'm going to corner them and I'm just going to let them have it. Well, I'm going to challenge you to corner someone and just let them have it. Just let the encouragement just fly in their face. Not the discouragement, but just corner someone and just let them have it. Give them the encouragement that you've been premeditating on, you've been thinking about, because you want to intentionally come alongside them to try to build them up and give them some encouragement. I want to challenge our parents, I'm one of them, our grandparents, to premeditate to encourage your kids and your grandkids. Because we have to consider, each and every day they go off to school and the challenges they face at school trying to keep up and do all the things they've got to do, fitting in with the crowds, and all the pressures that come into being a kid. I think we can agree that every generation that goes by, things get harder and harder. And as mature Christian adults, we should be thinking about how it is that we can encourage those kids in our lives. The last one is this: celebrate generously. I know sometimes our society comes off as we celebrate everything. And sometimes it's pretty important in the small, even the smallest things, to celebrate. To give praise, to encourage, even the smallest of things. To not let that go by as just a mundane part of life that, oh, I expected that you should have just done that. But that we sometimes celebrate the small things, to celebrate generously. We got an opportunity this morning to give some encouragement. I want to read you a letter that Debbie Seibert put in my mailbox. This is on behalf of her son, Brian. His wife, Bree, wrote this, and I want to read it to you, kind of an update of what's going on in Brian's situation. It says, "Thank you for your continuous prayer. They have sustained us through this trying time. It is so hard to watch someone you love progressively decline and know there is nothing you can physically do to help them. Each day, Brian was losing a little more of his sight, speech, mobility, and had an increase in the number of small seizures he was having. This was all caused from growth of the tumors and inflammation due to the radiation. Finally, after 3.5 days of decline, the doctor had the right combination of dosage of medication to stop the decline. And this had just happened this past week. He was also continuing radiation, which aided in his improvement. Wednesday afternoon, we saw a slight improvement. Thursday morning, his vision and speech had improved. Seizures were only in his foot now. By Thursday afternoon, there was talk of coming home. After some therapy evaluations, it was decided he could go home, but could not be alone due to his limited mobility and possibility of seizures. His right side is very weak, and he's using a walker. He also has glasses to help him with the double vision. He has 5 days of radiation left, and I'll be taking him and helping with his care during the day. Physical and occupational therapy will come 3 times a week. Through all of this, Brian has kept his smile, sense of humor, positiveness, and most importantly, his faith. Please keep praying, and he would enjoy an encouraging note. Thank you all again." As Brian goes through his struggles, it's another opportunity to encourage someone. And if you'd like to do that, there's a basket on the welcome table with his address, little strips of paper, that you could send an encouraging card or note his way to come alongside of him. You know, a church family has been able to come alongside through updates and different things, but we should continue to encourage. And that's just one person. And all the people that are here, you interact with many people throughout the week. Who is it in your life this week that you could share some encouragement with to try to make someone happy? I want to challenge you. I hope you take this challenge seriously. This isn't something I've just kind of thrown out there as a suggestion. but that we can really be people who make a change for the good in other people's lives. To make 100 people happy the next 9 weeks. It's a challenge I think that you can do, but you have to choose to do it. And one way that we can do this is by being an encourager. So this week, drive that ice cream truck. You got the keys. Fire it up and let's go. Spread some happiness, and you can do that through encouragement. This morning we sing a song of invitation, and if you've yet to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to make the best decision you'll ever make. To give your life to Christ, the one that's already given His for yours. But you have to make that decision, and so we offer that this morning to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you choose so. If you've already made that decision and you're a Christian this morning, I hope as we sing this song, you consider how encouraged you should be that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Let's stand and let's sing.